Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Wash up, Walk-Ons Nation. We're back. The Walk-Ons are here to talk at you about the Hawks' big victory in Kinnick on Saturday night, 23-19 over the undefeated Minnesota Gophers. The Row the Boat Flex went down. The boat's got holes in it. We're going to talk about all those holes. We're going to talk about the trophy, the pig, the field rush, everything. Sit back, relax. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 65 of the podcast. I want to apologize for my disappearance on Friday's episode. I had some technology, and that's all there is to failing in the technology category on Friday. But we're back today, just like the pig is every year. And actually, some of you guys on that topic, you might be a little bit mad at me because I didn't like the field storm. I'm kind of back in the public enemy category. I was on your guys' good side there for a little bit, but I'm back on the bad side. But that's all right. I embrace it. We're going to have ourselves a pretty good episode today. We got the pig back. I think everybody's in good spirits. I think you guys are in for a pretty interesting winning conversation. So let's get to it.
Yeah. Lots to talk about, or a few things at least. Multiple items on the agenda, I guess, as you would say. Welcome back, everybody. Hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. Of course you did if you were sitting in Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City yesterday or 2 days ago as you listened to this. Wish I was there. Kevin, you were there. Can we talk a little bit about the vibe in Kinnick and how nice that was to finally experience this season?
I don't know what you mean. Finally, experienced this season. It's our seventh win of the year. We've
okay. I'll elaborate. A win that really means something.
I mean, they all mean something, Kluver. You know that.
Okay, Kevin. you know what I'm saying.
Smart ass, dude. Yeah, Kinnick was electric. It was a fun day, man. You know, blackout crowd, blacked out unis.
Were you blacked out?
I was not blacked out. No, I think the majority of the student section was, however, blacked out. Dude, it was fun. It was electric. That fourth quarter got really amped up, man. That it was about as loud as I'd ever heard Kinnick before. It was fun, man.
I'm jealous, for sure. Jealous. Pork chops were being served at the Ward tailgate this weekend. How were those?
Boys. I think to use PJ's favorite word, elite, would be an understatement.
All right. I like that. Let's get right into this. So, again, Drake mentioned and apologized he wasn't here on Friday. Kevin and I gave a real quick kind of shotgun episode, said that if the defense could play big and we can get a couple turnovers and we can control the game a little bit with our run game, we'd win the game. What happened? We did that, boys. We did that. We got to see Brady Ross, one pig, run over and grab another pig.
That was truly a video that I needed in my life.
Got a lot of tweets about the B. Ross monster this weekend. Had a couple pretty great blocks, leading the way for, and I think this is a good segue into a good place to start, for the freshman Tyler Goodson. Was put on full display from the beginning, got the start, and really got to see him carry the load, figuratively and literally, as the feature back to start this game out. And
he's a beast.
He is what some would call an SEC talent, something that we maybe haven't seen, at least in a while. I think Akram gave you a lot of that stuff when we played with Ak, but I think the hopes are, and kind of what Tyler Goodson has done this far in his career, is that he can be even better than Akram was, and he can be more of a feature, more of an all-around guy than Ak was, which is scary to think because Ak was very good.
I hope Tyler Goodson turns into Sean Green and we just get to watch him run all over the Big Ten for the next few years, because that would really just make my heart sing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to be Sean Green. Sean was pretty big. Like, he was a beefy guy.
I just mean a Duke Walker winner.
Oh, yeah. I mean, me too. I think he's got the potential. Obviously, a lot of things go into that. We need a line that's going to consistently just maul people, which obviously this year hasn't happened. But on Saturday, looked pretty good. I tweeted about that first drive that Brian gave the big old middle finger to everybody that was on his ass.
He came out flipping bombs.
Yeah, he mixed things up. We ran a few plays that we hadn't ran all year. It was one of those drives where every play was just hitting as hard as it could schematically and matchup wise. That the misdirection where the long run to Goodson where he got the pitch to the weak side. We motioned two tight ends over to the strong side to kind of garner the eyes of the defense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think all of Hawkeye Nation popped a little chub on that play, and a lot of exciting things. At one point I was walking around, I unfortunately spent the weekend in Nebraska, which wasn't all bad. Got to see some Lauren's extended family, ate some incredible food today for an early Thanksgiving, but I watched most of the game at a bar in Omaha, and at one point we walked from one bar to the other and Amir had scored the third touchdown, and I didn't even have time to get to the next bar before the Hawks were scoring again, and I was like, Jesus Christ, what are we doing?
Yeah, I thought we were really going to throw him out of there for a second. I was getting pretty excited.
We're about to go for 50 on the Gophers. That did not happen. We closed the half out. Really got lucky. Didn't get lucky. Made our own luck. Defense did some great things to not only stop them for a field goal on the one they did get in the first half, but then also not allow a touchdown within that last couple minutes. Kevin, defensively, let's talk about the Hawks. And I think last week you tweeted, or you didn't tweet, last week in your monologue, you said during that, give, you know, that kind of quote, if I'm a defensive guy and the offense says we're going to get you 22, 23 points, that's it. We got it, boys. We'll take it from here. And that's exactly what happened this weekend, 23-19 Iowa. Talk about your D, Kev.
Man, the defense, you know, played really well in some areas, and we played kind of poorly in other areas, to be honest. But at the end of the day, 19 points, that's a little bit above of what we expect of ourselves. Back when we were playing, the goal was the 17 was like the magic number. We tried to keep opponents under 17. But no, we played really good in the run game. I think they averaged like 2 yards a carry. We kind of had to force them to be one dimensional and patiently throw the ball game long, which we didn't actually do that great of a job of stopping. Now, granted, they got a pretty good offense, and I've been pretty impressed by their quarterback this year, but we did give up almost 10 yards per pass attempt this week, which was tough to watch. I think our linebackers kind of struggled getting under some crossing routes, and then we lost a bunch of those 50-50 down the field shots that they ended up coming down with. And they got some really good receivers, but it's giving up 370 yards passing is going to give Phil another aneurysm.
Our guy number four is going to grow up a lot, though. You know, he had a learning experience against a senior receiver a whole lot of the day, and I mean, the guy gave him some stuff that he's probably never seen before. But I think Dane's going to be a pretty good player, especially being able to get in the field and mix it up with guys who have so much experience.
I mean, it wasn't just Dane; it was. And there's plenty of blame to be passed around, and it wasn't just the DBs; the linebackers ran on it too. And it sucks, you know, we were missing probably our best defensive back. OJ wasn't playing today. I'm not exactly sure what he was out with, but you know, at the end of the day, we got the stops when we pretty much needed them. Our D-line came with some big plays late in the game. And overall, you know, it's a win against a good offense. So, you know, I'll tip my cap to that.
So, You mentioned Belton, big time moment in the game. They are driving. It's third down, or no, it's fourth down, and they throw a pass, simple little slant route, drops the ball, and Belton just dumb young kid.
Drops the hammer.
Yeah, I mean, dumb young kid play. Throws all everything he has into, you know, kind of a defenseless receiver after the whistle, after the play's over, and gets a stupid penalty.
It wasn't blatantly late.
And I kind of really liked it.
When they slowed it down on TV, it was pretty bad.
Of course, it's in slow motion.
Yeah, I mean, even
at full speed. It was a penalty, but honestly, I don't think it would have been too crazy for a flag not to have gotten thrown there. Should he have laid it off? Absolutely. But I wouldn't say it was like, you know, egregiously blatant. Coach Parker is definitely pulling him aside there. And is like, dude, come on. What the hell are you doing? Like you got to pull off there, especially on a huge fourth down like that.
And Fleck, you know, being the guy he is, we get one from the row the boat gods. Fleck runs his dumbass on the field and matches Belton's penalty with a 15-yarder so that they offset and the Hawks take over on downs.
Well, I'm
what
pretty sure
a relief.
We get the ball regardless because it was after the play.
And so, yeah, so that was kind of the whole deal. So the 15 yards was probably going to be assessed, or it would have been half the distance to the goal. It scared me for a second. I mean, everybody was probably a little on edge at this point.
I had a total heart attack. I had a meltdown at my house.
Yeah. Huge moment in the game. And then the Hawks take over. Let's talk a little bit about that last drive real quick before we get into some bigger things. How about AJ Epenesa finally kind of having himself an entire series by himself where the man just eats. Gophers looked really, really confused. They had their second string quarterback in for those last two plays. That obviously didn't help. But AJ goes to work and just puts a cap on the game, flexes on the guy as he's down after his sack. I loved everything about it.
I love AJ so much, man. I'm so happy he's on our football team.
Yeah, same. He's not going to be on our football team for very long, I don't think.
No, but I'm really appreciating watching him while he is.
Yeah, I'm going to enjoy these last three games with him. Man. He's fun to watch, and all the media that Hawkeye football puts out with him. First of all, the media has been great this year. Like, how about Ski Una?
Yeah, how about that? I mean, top level trolling by you guys.
Yeah, that's good stuff, Max Allen and the boys. Yeah, let's talk about, so the Hawks win 23-19. The Pig stays in Iowa City. I put it in my Instagram post on Friday. You don't own the Pig. You don't own any trophies. You earn the trophies. The Hawks went and earned this one this year, and it's one that the Gophers haven't seen since a, well, they had it all year after this, but since an overcast day in Minneapolis in 2014 where they actually beat the brakes off us in what was one of the most miserable 3.5 hours that I've ever been a part of.
I can confidently say that that was the worst beating that we took as
oh, yeah.
Worse than Stanford, worse than Tennessee. That was the worst one.
And after that year, when we won it back in 2015 in the blackout unis in a night very similar to Saturday, they haven't seen it since. So it's going to go 5 years sitting in Iowa City. And the Gophers and Fleck and all their boats with the holes in them, they're not going to like that, and they're going to continue to dislike that, and that's their issue to deal with. After the game, the Iowa faithful stormed the field, and I was sitting in a bar in Omaha, Nebraska, oddly enough, with with my wife's family and 4 Wisconsin fans. I don't know what they were doing there. A couple of them were
bigger Iowa fans than Iowa fans this week.
Well, it was odd because 2 of them, they were all friends. It was 4 men. 2 of them were cheering for us because for obvious reasons, it allows them the chance to go beat them and head to the championship game. And 2 of them were just complete asshole fans who were like, well, I don't want Iowa to win because we've already faced Ohio State once this year and we know how that goes, and I don't want to go back to the Big Ten championship and be embarrassed.
That is positively the worst take I've ever heard on any sport ever.
So that
I don't want to go to the championship because we're going to get our ass beat.
Guys, what's up? Want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Hey guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify, one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons.
Spoiled. So Wisconsin spoiled their fans so bad that now they don't even want to go to the championship game because they know they can't compete with the other side. Like, someone slit me up a little bit. That's what the one guy was saying. And so they rushed the field, and that specific guy was like, wow, going to rush the field against Minnesota? How about we act like we've been there before? And I was conflicted. I was a little conflicted because I felt a little bit of that embarrassment. I was like, dang, he's kind of right. Like, it was Minnesota. We beat him 5 years in a row. They haven't won in Kinnick for 20 years.
Yeah, man, I gotta butt in on you here, man, because like I got chopped up for this. this was another one of the non uh, non-agreeances between myself and the Iowa fans, and they let me have it, which is fine. We don't have to agree with a lot of things. But like you were just about to mention, we were the favorite to win the game, and that's really all you need to know. Like we have won the Pig 6 of the last 7 years. None of the players on their roster even know what beating Iowa feels like. It's that, like, I just don't understand. It just seems too, it's a stretch, man. I don't know. It's soft. I didn't like it at all.
And here, before Kevin jumps in, because I want to hear Kevin's thoughts as well, I, at the same time, 100% understand. I'm like 55-45 on this debate. If you had to really like piece it out,
I'm like 75-25 because I understand the fun of it. I just don't like it on principle.
So it's a big game. Like it's a night game in Kinnick. You beat a top 10 opponent. They're undefeated. You ruin their dream. Like, as a fan, especially if you're intoxicated, which if you're a good fan and you've been, you know, in Iowa City tailgating all day, there's a 95% chance that you are. Nothing at all is telling you to stay in the state in the stands. I fully understand that. Even if you're stone cold sober, it might be your only chance as a Hawkeye fan to rush the field. I get it. That's an amazing experience. You get to go down, be with some of the guys. This is one of those, we talked about being homers last week where we might be blind to it. I think this is a situation where I'm completely blind to this side of it. Because as a fan, you don't get that interaction on the field with the guys ever. You maybe get to touch the pig, while the guys are carrying it around. It's possibly a once in a lifetime moment if you don't make it to many Iowa games. And not only that, but the way that the season has gone, we've been so close against Michigan, so close against Penn State, so close against Wisconsin. This fan base needed it. They needed to go celebrate a big win, and so I get it. But just from a former player standpoint, with us being favored, especially against the exact opponent that it was, the Minnesota Gophers, and just being a former player and knowing, like, I don't know, just –
like, no shit, man. They're our little brother. Like, they have always been. Like, they do the who hates Iowa, we hate Iowa, fuck Iowa. Who, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, they're all about the rah-rah, we hate Iowa bullshit because they're the little brother, just like Iowa State. And the trophy games show. It is what it is, man.
Yeah. Kevin, what do you think?
So, I'm there at the game, obviously. I'm sitting next to my brother, and we take that last knee. I'm just looking to see who's going to be the first one of the pig. And, you know, I just love seeing Brady Ross turn around and sprint toward it. He was the first one there. Shout out Brady Ross. Loved seeing that. So I'm watching the guys go run for the pig. And then I notice, like, oh shit, the students are rushing the field. Like I completely did not expect it because like you said, Drake, we were the favorite in the game. We've won this game for five times in a row. Now it's like, okay. I mean, I don't care that they want to have fun. I don't care. Let them have fun. But I just didn't really expect it. So I'm just sitting there in the stands, and me and Ryan look at each other. He's like, well, we're not going to not rush the field if everyone else is.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, we hopped on down there. I got to see a couple of the guys down on the field. One of the guys that we tailgate next to said he saw me on the Jumbotron. I'm like, well, shit, it's probably more time than I got as a player on the Jumbotron.
Could have been.
But yeah, I mean, in my opinion, like, storming the field is like for the biggest of big wins, you know? Like,
yeah.
So like, you know, Michigan, when we didn't have a shot, like, I understand. Even I was actually even surprised our senior year versus Ohio State that the fans rushed the field. Cause I mean, it wasn't even close. I'm like, I remember going.
Right. We had it one.
Yeah, I remember going over to jog over to the other sideline and start shaking some hands, and all of a sudden I see like the people are like, like crap, like storming the field. I'm just like, okay, yeah, we had this game won in the third quarter, but you know what? Fuck it, let's celebrate. So I don't care if you guys want to have fun, but you know, it's got to be authentic. You know what I mean? Like the last win versus Michigan when literally no one gave us a chance in that game, and we go and, you know, storm and like basically pile on Duncan and almost suffocate the kid. And then, you know, you get up off the pile and the entire stadium's on the field like that. That was awesome. But no, I mean, whatever. Let the kids have fun. Who cares?
Yeah, there is no right answer to this. I just want to end my spiel by saying that I did get texted by a few of the other former teammates that were like, "Hey, man, hated it. What do you think? This didn't like this tacky, you know." So I think it may just be from a former player standpoint, or you know, maybe we just some people have differing opinions, and that's cool too. I just didn't like it.
To Kevin's point on the biggest of big wins, I think that's where it hits for me. And I just don't want to, you know, Pat on Twitter, he Pat's a bit of a sellout on Twitter sometimes. And he's like, "I don't care. We'll rush the field, win or lose." He's obviously playing up to the fans and like just making a funny
tweet. Hear that, Pat? You're a sellout.
But to that point, like you start rushing the field on any time you beat like just a ranked opponent or like, you know, it's just like a semi big game, then it kind of dumbs down the experience. And I don't want that experience dumbed down. But also, that's just from my point of view. If you're a fan, go do it. Like, hey,
no, like 100%, you know, the huge games, you know, upsetting a number one team, you know, a last second win too, like it's the heat of the moment type thing. So like, like when Auburn ran the kick six back and they stormed the field, obviously after that game, I mean, that makes sense. You know, beating an unranked team in Kinnick, yes, you know, there's that justification, but at the end of the day, we were favored. We were the better team. So whatever. Like I said, you know, let the fans have fun. Who cares?
It's over with.
Yeah. See, 24 minutes in. Let's go quickly before our last thoughts on the game and then maybe turning our eyes towards the rest of the season or maybe some other
different things. Like there's a few like bigger topic things to talk about in football.
I want to hear about Kevin's awards winners real quick.
Yes, the old awards winners. How about them?
They were pretty treaty.
They were pretty treaty. So Wisconsin covered versus Nebraska. Alabama covered versus Mississippi State. Michigan covered versus Michigan State. USC covered versus Cal. And the one that I pretty much acknowledged was like a terrible pick. Ohio State did not cover the 52 points versus Rutgers. They gave up 21 points to Rutgers. So I honestly think they should be disqualified from the college football playoff on that basis alone. Terrible pick. I acknowledged it even last episode when I said it. I'm acknowledging it here. It's probably even worse than my pick of Notre Dame over Michigan when they lost by about 40. I will stand by that pick more than I will stand by Ohio State having to win by 52. But no, went 4 for 5. I sent Ike a couple of other picks on that on Saturday that did all right too. I'm feeling pretty good. The biggest winner though, obviously the Hawks covered. And that's
oh yeah,
that
the
was,
Hawks
that
did
was,
cover.
That was big time.
Gotta
for
love
the boys.
It. Last thoughts on this game before we go on to I want to for sure talk about Tua. Before we end this podcast,
I want to tell a story of my weekend.
Oh, yeah. Last thoughts on this game. I think Kevin drilled it on Friday. We did what we needed to do. I think this game, and I'm not trying to kill what Iowa just did, but I think this game says a lot more about Minnesota than it says about Iowa. And the whole us being favored speaks to that. It'll be interesting to see what Minnesota-Wisconsin game looks like here in a couple weeks. And I think Minnesota played a great game versus Penn State offensively, and they got it done. But before that, and this is why I also didn't think that like beating Minnesota was such a big deal, they hadn't done anything to be respected. And we aren't, as we mentioned, a great football team this year. We've proven that. And we beat them in Kinnick at home. We're a good football team, but we're not a great football team. And so I think this win said more about Minnesota than it did the Hawks. Hawks should win both games. That being said, they should win both games. We should be a 9-3 team looking at a pretty damn good bowl game. But we'll get to that in later weeks. You guys, anything else?
So I'm going to slightly disagree with you. I think this does say a little bit more about the Hawks. You know, we had our season goal of winning the Big Ten championship and winning the West effectively ended last week. And, you know, they still came out and played a really tough game versus a good opponent. You know, Minnesota is a good football team. They are a good football team.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any doubt about that anymore. I think that over the last 2 weeks, even with this loss to us, that they've gotten a lot more respect. But at the end of the day, yes, I think we were the better football team. I think we should have won that game, and we did win that game. If we played that game 10 times, I think we should have won at least 7 of them. So,
yeah.
I was really happy to see how hard the boys played. I was really happy to see it. But I think Minnesota's gonna still give Wisconsin a run for their money for the West in 2 weeks. I'm gonna be excited to see it. We'll see. Maybe we'll have a new.
It'll be fun.
New representative in Indy this year.
Drake, tell us about your NASCAR story.
Yo, this was actually pretty cool and pretty crazy. So my birthday was back in October, but my mom just wanted to give me something cool for my birthday, and she succeeded. There's this little like NASCAR thing that happens in a few cities around the country, I guess, where you can go and take a little bit of a course on learning how to drive a race car, and then they let you get in it and, you know, do a few 8 or 10 laps around the track, doing a decent speed, nothing crazy. I was hoping it would actually be faster, but out of nowhere, man, I was driving around, had gone around the track a few times, no issues. And then the cockpit, or, you know, just the cabin started filling up with smoke. And so I got on the radio and I was like, sir, I think the car's on fire. And he's like, all right, just go ahead and cruise down to the side of the track and we'll see what's going on. And by the time I got the car stopped at the bottom of the track, like the whole inside was filled with smoke and like there was the motor was definitely on fire. And so they like popped over and I was able to hop out of the car before it, you know, actually was like on fire inside. And the fire didn't last very long. They just put it out under the hood and I got in another race car and got to drive a few more laps and then I went home. But yeah, I blew up the motor in a race car and I was in a car that was on fire, so that was pretty cool.
You told the guy the car was on fire and he said just go ahead and keep on driving it and bring it in.
Yeah, just keep it going.
Interesting advice. That's kind of crazy.
Hey man, I had a fire suit on. I was feeling confident.
Yeah, that would have been something. Tua Tagovailoa Soba Dubadaba, whatever his last name is.
Don't disrespect him like that, my guy. He just had a terrible day.
That was disrespectful, dude.
His hip got disrespected because the guy might be done playing football forever, I guess, or something like that. For those that saw it or didn't see it, he took a hit from two guys, kind of got landed on, and just it looked painful as hell. The guy got carted off the field. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the country. He's leading Alabama, who isn't Alabama of the past few years, but they're still Alabama, top five team, chance to, you know, play in the college football playoff. And it has potential ramifications for his NFL career now. Same injury, I guess, that ended Bo Jackson's career. And this gets into a huge thing where we probably don't have time for it tonight, but if he can't ever play again or this affects him big time, I saw a few guys tweet about how this is going to become the Tua rule where guys can leave earlier than their junior year. What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Kev.
Yeah, so I see this injury every now and then when I'm at work. You actually, when you see this injury, it's usually from like a car crash. It's a very serious injury. This isn't something that you're just going to have your sports med team doc fix up. You're going to have to go to a fellowship trained orthopedic traumatologist to get this fixed, and it's a pretty difficult surgery because when you you know what he did is the head of the femur broke through the back of his pelvis, and so imagine you take a bowl and you turn it on its side and you smash it down on the table and now you have a bunch of fragments that you have to put it back together. And if you want to not have a painful hip and a hip that works, you have to make put that bowl back perfectly together. And there's a bunch of little fragments in there. It's not exactly easy to do. So he's got it'll really depend how well his surgery goes. He's got a long road ahead of him. And you could see how much pain he was in. And I can't feel worse for the kid, because I do think he's a good kid. He's an awesome quarterback. He's fun to watch. I can't really speculate on recovery time. They say he might not play next year. I think he will. He will play football again, I believe. But it's a career altering injury. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Yeah, I don't really have much else to say besides that. I know what it feels like to kind of be sitting there on the turf with your leg all fucked up, wondering what's next. And I feel for the kid, because I know how tough that day in the hospital is. Just it's tough to just sit in your own head and have all those wonders. But it sucks to get hurt. That's an unfortunate part of football, and that team's gonna have to figure out how to move on from probably like the number one pick.
It's tough.
Yeah, man. It's a dangerous game, but we all signed up for it because we love it.
True.
And everybody signed up.
True, true.
That is going to do it for us. Episode 65 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast. We're glad you joined us. Everybody this week, wake up about 5-10 minutes early. Grill yourself up some bacon. Fry it up on the pan. Enjoy that. All right. I know Kevin said it earlier. I am so happy for the guys. That's the best feeling as a player, celebrating a trophy win in the locker room in Kinnick Stadium.
You know what? I'm actually really jealous of the guys, because they got that awesome Graze meal tonight.
They got a Graze meal going on right about now, actually. Maybe a little earlier. Man, what a time it was. Hawks now 7-3 going into their last two games. Can't wait for the last two games of the season. We'll be back, obviously, on Friday to talk at you about the Illinois game. That's it for the walk-ons. Everyone have a great week.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts, and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.